You're going to see all the emotions.
Things got a little crazy at times.
And yes, there are some tears.
It wasn't rainbows, it wasn't butterflies. It is gut-wrenching. It is hard, and it only gets harder. This whole entire thing wasn't always pretty. Here's the thing. I wasn't the perfect bachelor.
Hello, Internet.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to our show.
Yay!
It's Hometowns Week, which is something.
Yeah, you know, it's a milestone. It's always a fun...
It's a necessary evil.
Well, I mean, it means things are getting serious, you know?
I guess. It really just... What it means is that we're down to four contestants left. That's what it means.
Yeah.
It means there are four people left.
Yeah. It's time for these girls to lip sync for their lives.
It is time for that. before we get into that, the lip syncing and the living and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'd like to make a note.
Okay.
For the people who listen to our show, mm-hmm. and for all the ABC executives, I'm sure, who are
also listening.
Yeah. There's dozens.
Dozens of hundreds of them. Dozens of you.
So, in our studio, mm-hmm. The hour before The Bachelor comes on mm-hmm. is an hour of family-friendly game shows.
Right.
Everyone can play along.
Yep.
It's 30 minutes of Jeopardy. 30 minutes of Wheel of Fortune.
Depending on where you live, the ratio might be switched. You might have
That's right.
Wheel of Fortune first
ratio,
and then Jeopardy
the
second.
I
use the word that I wanted to use, okay?
The ratio is still the same.
Though you may have several degrees.
Either order.
I also have 2 degrees.
A ratio is just a division problem.
Well?
So it doesn't matter what order they're in.
Well?
They're the same quantity, the same size.
Excuse me. Your order may be shifted. Is that better?
Yes.
Golly.
So we start with Jeopardy, and it's a fun time.
So fun.
We sit around, and we play along, mm-hmm, and like, you know, mm-hmm. we skip the whole what is this and all that stuff. I think I've probably mentioned this before. I hate Alex Trebek.
Adam really does.
Alex Trebek is the worst person. Obviously, you know the answers, Alex. They're on a card in front of you.
So for all of you people who get on me about Amy Adams, listen to this. This is what this is like. Okay?
I would like to go on Jeopardy and to his face call him Vanna. I would like that so bad.
Tell him.
I'll
Tell
take
him about
himself. Potpourri for 200, Vanna, please.
Got him. Got him.
This is what I would like to do, to Alex Trebek, because I hate him. He's talking. Listen, read the next question, clown. Mm-hmm. Just read the next question.
Yeah. I feel that.
Jeopardy is doing a thing now. It's like a team tournament of champions.
Yeah, it's all-star. Wow, okay.
It's exhausting. Here's what they do. A regular episode of Jeopardy has 61 questions. 2 rounds of 30, and then Final Jeopardy is one. So that's
61
questions.
Are you serious? Is that math that you just knew off your head, or you just always...
Everyone knows that.
Okay. Well.
You do the first act, you introduce the people, and you do the first 15 questions. The second act, you do the personal fun fact about each of the three people, and then the rest of the 15 questions of the first round. Third act, all 30 questions in final and double Jeopardy, and then Final Jeopardy is the last.
Listen, I trust you. I was just impressed by the math that you just spouted off, because I can't do that.
I do that.
I know.
Also, like when you're watching TV on the treadmill, running at the gym, sometimes time slows down, and like you have hyper attention pay to things.
Not only did you just
you
say
figure
you
out
could
the...
do math off the top of your head, you talked about your multiple degrees, and we get it. You run. What's wrong with that?
You got any other complaints about the good things that my healthy habits?
I don't know. You drink a lot of water, and that pisses me off.
Interesting word to use.
Yes!
It pisses me off, too.
Topical.
In a different way. Mm. Anyway, Jeopardy is doing this thing now
where
tonight, on the entire episode,
yep.
30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
they did just one round of Jeopardy. 30 questions. They cut the questions in half.
Well, that set you off, didn't it? Jeez.
Nobody watches the show to get to know the characters.
That is absolutely
It's not
true.
A drama or a sitcom. You don't watch because you want to see the people.
No.
You watch because you want to play along.
Yeah, totally.
Alex Trebek sucks.
Yep.
End of rant.
I've got something else to say.
While we're at it.
While we're ranting
about
stuff.
Let's pile on a little bit, I guess.
I love a pile on. If I have to see that Paragard commercial one more time... I'm going to burn this building down. I can't burn down Hong Kong Lounge because it's already burned down. Yeah. But I'm going to burn a lot of stuff down.
For everyone who doesn't know, the building like directly across the street from us had a gas fire and entirely burned down like 2 weeks ago.
It exploded, you guys.
Luckily, nobody was hurt.
No one was hurt.
But like the whole building is just a burnt down frame of a structure that we walk by every day.
It's a black hole. So I'm really upset about this Paragard commercial. I've never seen anybody get this excited about an IUD, which is wildly painful to get inserted into your body.
I'm not sure the rest of our audience gets the same commercials we do. Do you want to tell, or maybe they're not watching the show and just listening to us.
You guys, even if you're not watching the show, you're probably watching my Instagram stories. I have talked about this commercial specifically so many times.
Tell the people what happens.
It is a birth control commercial that has been turned into, it's not a musical, it's more of a pop, like, dance thing, because I wouldn't even call it like a Broadway experience. It is cheaper than that. It is more uncouth than that. It is disrespectful. It's more of a jingle set to choreography. It's about Paragard being a great birth control method. There's children in it, which seems like
what's
an
the worst part? There's little babies like singing
there's
along.
There's children that are singing and dancing as part
they're
of
not
this.
Babies. They're like 10 or something. Yeah, well, but they're like singing around. They're like, oh my God, no babies. IUD goes inside you. And you're like, wait, what?
And there's a lot of choreography, like so much choreography. And I've seen the commercial so many times to the point that I also know the choreography and I'm upset.
I get up and I put on my flowiest sundress and I dance around with all my girlfriends, swinging my arms.
Talking about birth control.
Talking
about a copper
apparatus
eye
inserted inside
me. That's right.
Nothing makes me when I have a device implemented inside my person.
Implanted
like
is
a
actually the word that you're looking for. Implanted. So, Paragard can go to hell and never come back, but I guess they know their audience. So, marketing works.
I guess.
Marketing.
It's what both of us do for a living.
I don't do marketing.
You're on the marketing team.
No, I'm not.
Oh, man. I'm on the marketing team.
You're on the marketing team.
Anyway, let's talk about this actual show.
Wow. Hometowns is always an interesting week because, one, the girls don't see each other, so they can't really, you know, fight about anything. And then, second of all, there's always this subtext of, you know, bending the knee. And this is where we get to in the show that starts to make my non-traditional thoughts and feelings about marriage and how it all starts gets me riled up. So Colton has been...
I was going to say something different about hometowns.
Oh.
You just jumped right into it.
Yeah.
The hometowns episode, for people who don't actually watch The Bachelor.
I think people know what's up.
It's the absolute, well, for people who do watch it, it is the worst episode because everything is just hyper scripted. And it's not just the normal contestants
now. Yeah, I totally agree.
It's like there hasn't been a new line of dialogue in a hometown date in probably 20 years.
And everyone the show's saying, been on for 20 years.
Everyone is saying exactly the same things. Family is so important. It's the only thing that matters to me. And like, if my family gets along, that's how I'll know. Like, it's... Every conversation that everyone has is a dead copy-paste of the same conversations the characters had last season, and it's like nothing is authentic about this episode.
No, and then usually there's a conversation with a challenging parent, maybe one or two.
One or two of these dads are going to be a real turd in the punch bowl.
And if there's not a dad involved, definitely a crotchety mom or an apathetic mom like Lauren Beese.
Oh.
I mean, there's a couple of parents that have been on this show that are some of my personal favorites, as we like to talk about High Dorfman of Andy the Dorf Dorfman. Love him. Great dad. I also really maybe enjoy is not the word. I would also like to recall Dean's dad being...
That was a unique experience.
One of the most memorable hometown dates that we've had. If you are new to the experience, Dean's dad, after his mother passed away of cancer when he was a teenager or so, Dean had been estranged from his father for probably upwards of about 5 years. And he had not basically seen him for any period of time until he brought Rachel home for his hometown. And come to find out, his father was an Aquarian. Now, guys, if you've ever looked up the Aquarian cult. It's pretty crazy. It was owned and operated by Jim Baker, who killed himself because he thought he could fly.
A beautiful story. I honestly, like, the ultimate way for a cult leader to go down.
Yeah. And
jumped off a cliff, thought he could fly. Couldn't. And died.
Died.
Because he was still human.
He was still a human person. And if you ever have the opportunity to watch the Source Family documentary, it's wild. Before Jim Baker started the Source Family / Aquarian cult, he also killed two people with his bare hands. So.
I mean, it's better than killing with somebody else's hands.
It's true.
Or covered hands.
It's true.
Bare hands, you're at least leaving fingerprints, you know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was basically like a fight that went bad. Really bad. Anyway, so hometowns. Yay!
So we start these hometowns in Fredericksburg, Virginia, which is where Miss North Carolina lives.
I thought that was strange.
I did too. Did they move? Was she, like, working across state lines in the pageant business?
And what is that paperwork like? I mean, if you're going to Fredericksburg, Virginia, and yet you are Miss North Carolina, how do you sort of tell the pageant people, like, hey, I'm actually from a different state? I mean, do they have to say you've lived in a certain jurisdiction for a period of time? Is it like being a senator or, like, you know, being in the House of Representatives? You have a district? Is that a thing?
I think it's more like she's like, I'm going to move with my family to Virginia. And the people at Big Miss America go,
nice.
That's cool. We're just going to crown another one of you next year anyway. So whatever. You're totally interchangeable. We can find another little blonde
23-year-old person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't think it's like...
No.
Yeah.
So on all hometown dates, there's usually an activity during the day. And then in the late afternoon, let's say they go to the family's home. So the activity...
Have a dinner.
Yeah, the activity...
At some
family's home.
It is not her family's
which
home.
Which we will touch on.
Okay.
So, they... Colton and...
Kaylin.
So, Colton and Kaylin go on a carriage ride around Fredericksburg, Virginia, and then they go get soft serve. Cute. Fine.
They got ice cream. Good.
I love ice cream. So good. And so they talked about who Kaylin was bringing to her hometown date to this house. Her mother, 800 of her closest family members.
Yes.
And
this is not even so much like a family get together as just a straight up ambush.
Yeah.
There's 10 million people.
There were 4,000 people on this date. And then we also meet Kaylin's stepdad, John. Kaylin's biological father is not in her life. So John has basically raised
for
Kaylin.
For her entire life. This is her actual dad.
This is her dad. So we get to the house. There's some sort of cookout happening. I feel like somebody
It's hard to tell. There's
Kool-Aid.
So many people.
There's so many people here. So this is also a pro tip as we talk more about this show. Never, ever, ever, ever bring more than 5 people to your hometown date unless it's all immediate family.
Yeah, well, nobody outside of your family should be there unless you have, like, only 3 people and you need a filler.
100%. Like, for example, when we went to Jason's hometown on Becca's date, he had his mother, his father, his brother, and his brother's husband. Perfect.
I don't know how you remember things like
this. I'm a witch.
I have no memory.
Really? You don't remember Becca going to Buffalo and not eating those buffalo chicken wings?
I don't remember Jason.
What? Oh, no. Jason, the hockey player that looked like Patrick Bateman. He's dating Caitlin now.
I remember him now.
He's dating Caitlin.
I remember him now, but, like, I couldn't just
rattle that off.
Recall that.
Yeah. As discussed, I'm a witch.
That's insane. I don't know how you do that.
Well, it's a gift and a curse, Sam.
Also, you didn't know how many questions there were on Jeopardy. They're in a grid. It's 6x5.
And
multiplication.
Yet, free recall of something that happened almost a year ago. Can you imagine? Yeah.
This isn't even a podcast. It's an experiment in 2 different types of brain operation styles.
I know.
God, thank God we can both talk.
Can we?
I don't even know.
Oh, God. God.
Thank God you're not coughing still.
Oh, that's great. I'm
the
off
actual.
I'm actually off antibiotics right now, so I'm very excited. So we get to the date, and basically what happens is John hates Colton. And I say that because he specifically said to him, after Colton sort of rattled off all of the things that were great about Kaylin and all the time that they spent together.
These are all generic things that you don't actually, like...
Which is why John literally said, sounds like you guys could be friends. Got it.
Yeah, he's like...
I love the parents on the hometown dates because they don't have anybody to answer to. They have no, like, reason to be kind. The only reason that they're on the show is to basically be hard asses and say whatever they want.
She doesn't even go here.
Which is great television.
Yeah, so part of me, I'm a little bit conflicted on John.
Oh.
Right?
In what respect?
So Colton's like, listen, I think she's great. I think I'm falling in love with her, whatever. Like,
great. A hamburger's great.
And John's like, you guys sound like great friends, you know? Like, could, how about you just, you know, give her a little bop on the arm and you guys could just go, you still hang out and get to know each other for a few more years.
Go get ice cream. Cute, cute. I love it.
He's like that. And at this point, I'm like, you know what? He's kind of right. But also, let's take a little Miss Frizzle, you know, magic school bus experience.
Yes.
Inside John's thing.
I'm listening.
Right? New experiments, like journeys, safaris in empathy right now. Let's say you're a parent, John in particular.
Mm-hmm.
There are 30 parents, sets of parents, 30 groups of parents. Maybe not everybody has both.
30, anyway, yes.
There are 30 parental figures,
yeah,
you know, households sending a daughter off to this thing.
Yep.
And I would bet money every single 30 of them thinks that their daughter is a perfect person. Mm-hmm. How could any guy possibly not be super in love with her? And, like, you should be expecting that this is a mandatory stop on the way to your daughter winning.
On the road to Rhode Island, if you will.
Yes. You should be expecting
mm-hmm.
somebody else to love your child, you know, as much as you do, because she's a great person.
If not
she's
more, the best because person. This person is supposed to be marrying you.
You have to expect this.
Yes.
You cannot send your child off to a reality TV show dating thing
mm-hmm.
and expect her to lose. You have to be expecting her to come back with this guy.
Right.
I'm just saying. If he shows up and he's like, yeah, I think she's great, you have to go, of course she's great.
Right. I know that girl.
You can't be like, I never expected her to make it this far.
Which also,
is essentially what John did.
But also every parent says that too. They're like, oh, you actually made it this far? And I find it odd that everybody's parents is pretty much saying that. So after Colton has the conversation with John and he's all like, you know, hey, I would like to propose to Kaylin and I want to have your blessing. We'll get into the blessing thing in a second because it just grinds my gears. Kaylin then comes to John. They have a conversation about her relationship with Colton. And John, like everybody else's parents, is very skeptical about the experience. Now, Kaylin's mom also was skeptical about the experience. She's like, I don't know. I'm not really sure. You're 23.
This is an openly terrible way to meet somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
However, this decision's already been made.
The decision's been made. So it was very interesting in her conversation with John in particular, how when he started to press her about her feelings for Colton and about her experience and about what makes him so great, she shifted not to answer the question, but to start to manipulate, could be the word that we use.
I don't know. She changed the topic real quick.
She changed the topic to talk about
just a John, beautiful piece of diplomacy. Totally, very artful.
Totally. To talk about John being a great father and, you know, to be the most important man in her life and blah, blah, blah. She never answered the question.
And you know what? It totally worked.
It totally worked.
He was like,
deflection.
He was like, I don't think you're ready. And she was like, I think
You are a great father.
I think you're phenomenal. I think you're the best person. And he goes, you do whatever you want to do. I'm melted. I changed my mind.
Your kids are crazy.
And that was basically how the whole thing, and like, that's pretty much situation diffused.
Yeah, situation diffused. So it ultimately didn't work out for Caitlin because she got sent home.
She should. I think she was probably in last. I think we both predicted it was going to be her.
Do we want to talk about Caitlin's departure a little bit? I thought it was kind of...
Let's do it at the end. Let's save it for the end.
Okay.
Anything else to say about Caitlin and Fredericksburg, Virginia, and the ice cream and anything else? John?
Stop inviting too many people to your hometown dates.
It's the family for a reason.
It is immediate family. I don't want to see cousins. I don't want to see aunts. I don't want to see uncles. I don't, not friends at all.
Like parents, I don't care. Get out of here.
I don't care how close you are to anybody. I don't care if you grew up with your cousin bathing in the same bathwater. I don't care. If it's not immediate family, don't put them on the show, period. I don't want to see it.
So the least Italian thing you've ever said. It's confessions of an only child over here. Families are three people.
Families are three people.
Taylor, families are three people.
Families are three people. That's me.
Two parents and then one kid. That's a family.
And a me.
And Taylor Robinson.
I mean, Ben Higgins's hometown date was...
Get out of here.
Very smooth. Let's talk about the next one. Very smooth. So we go to Alabama.
This is where Hannah's from. Right. Hannah, who just now goes by only the first name, no initial.
And now we can call her Alabama Hannah. So their afternoon activity was to go to an etiquette class where Colton was going to learn about how to be a proper Southern gentleman.
Yeah, this is dumb.
Oh, God.
This is dumb. I mean, maybe it's dumb because Hannah's dumb.
Okay.
It could be. Maybe it's dumb. I don't know if she chose this or if they put it on her.
Well,
I mean,
when you say dumb, let's articulate. Let's open that up a little bit. Let's unpack that.
Well, nobody in the show is intelligent.
Sienna's pretty smart.
Well, like this show. Maybe Tayshia. Tayshia's a phlebotomist.
Tayshia's a phlebotomist. She knows what's going on.
I mean, Colton's job that he no longer does anymore is something that's sort of like. Known to make you kind of dumb, you know, brain injuries and whatnot.
Oh yeah,
doesn't make you brighter. That's
he's
for
a
sure.
philanthropist now.
He's unemployed now. Was that what you were saying?
What?
Okay. So they do this etiquette class.
Yes.
It
is wildly unclear if the etiquette class took place in a plantation. It had the symptoms of a plantation, but. We won't get into that. So I thought it was very interesting how Colton did a great job walking around with a book on his head. Excellent core strength. The woman on the during the etiquette class was saying, oh my God, Colton, you have great posture. No, that is called core strength. If you can hold your core and you can sort of bring your body up, you can hold anything on top of your head.
It's all part of the same thing.
Yeah, sure. But it's what I said. So then also I would like to mention.
Oh, excellent point.
Thanks, Adam. I would also like to mention that any and all etiquette has been learned from the film Titanic when the unsinkable Molly Brown said, when we're talking about silverware, work from the outside in. I don't understand why Colton didn't understand that he needed to rip off a small piece of bread and then butter it and then put it in his mouth.
Yeah, I mean, he's Colton, right? He eats the whole thing in one bite anyway.
Right, because he's a man.
And he's like a big man.
He's a big man. I mean, he's not as big as Jason Momoa. Hello?
He's not as big as Hannah's mom, am I right?
Oh my God! Adam?
What?
Adam.
So.
Adam.
What?
Oh, God.
What? D-R-A-M-A. Drama. Right there.
So let's fast forward to the actual house.
Okay. So
they go to this house. There's 10,000 women there.
There's 800 people.
There are no men at this thing.
There's one man.
It's her dad.
It's Hannah's dad. I would also like to say, as I say sometimes, you know, women tend to turn into their mothers a little bit. So I think hometowns are always an interesting time.
Oh, he got a preview and it was bad.
For people to go home and see what is ahead of them. I think Colton is in for a surprise.
What kind of surprise?
A jumbo shrimp size surprise. And also, Hannah does look like her mom, but she also doesn't look like anybody else
what?
In her family.
Looks like her mom?
She does. They have the same face a little bit.
Listen, I don't want to tell you what you saw.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Those two people did not look alike.
Well, physically. But genetically.
Well, physically is the only way they can look.
Physically, they did not.
Did you take a magic school bus trip inside of them alike. And say they looked similar?
Yes. So in the evening part of this day, I mean, not a whole lot happened because let's not forget that when there's one person on the show that the lead really, really likes, they usually keep that hometown date super, super short because there's no question about what's going on.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
He showed up and like...
Everybody was like, great, cool, I love it.
Dad throws out the, what are your intentions with my daughter question, which in the history of human existence is the most piece of anything ever.
Why don't you expound on that?
Nobody's intention is ever to, like, take advantage of somebody. Well, maybe.
Well, okay, let's...
At the point when you're...
You watched the Ted Bundy documentary.
At the point when you're asking somebody's dad. If you had bad intentions or whatever, you wouldn't ask. At the point that you showed up...
You also wouldn't know, either.
How could... Yes, you know... Or you're like, well, right now I'm really into her.
At this point, everybody's sending their representative. Like, they've been on camera for a month. Like, I highly doubt these girls have even seen Colton without a beat of makeup on.
What... Just what kind of answer could possibly come out of your mouth right there that could be of any information?
Yeah, like, what is he going to say? What are your intentions with my daughter? And Colton's answer would be like, I mean, basically we're just going to be an Instagram couple, and then we're going to get divorced or break our engagement about 6 months in.
Yeah, but at least she's young enough to try again afterwards.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's never going to... What? I hate that
question. What?
One of the dads asks it every year, at least one, and it's always terrible.
And it's always the same.
It's always cringeworthy.
It's always the same
answer. I mean, this is a... Like, the producers put the line in your mouth. Like, these dads aren't thinking of these things on their own.
No. So, next up is Tayshia's date in Orange County. They spent, in the combined sort of, I don't know, it was not an hour. It was probably like
45 minutes.
45
this
minutes?
This was most, this date, like, was a long time.
This was a long date compared to the other two. Which usually...
Maybe it's because their activity was the only one that...
Was of substance?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would also say, usually what happens on the show is the longer the date is, the more meat and juice they have, and it's very likely that that person is getting a better edit because of some things that are to come.
Tayshia is so much hotter than the other three girls.
Talk about it.
It is insane.
Talk about it.
There's not much more to say. Like, she's so much hotter than the other girls.
Yes.
I don't think he knows, because he's very into Hannah. Like, that's
I don't think obvious. He sees it as much, but there's some stuff there. So this date was actually super cute. What I enjoyed about this was that Tayshia was really, like, you can tell she's super confident about herself, probably because she's 28. Hello?
And she's already been married. Like,
she's been married. Like, this is not new news for her. And she's very loose. She's fun. She's confident in herself. She's making jokes. Like, the other girls are not making jokes.
I mean, look around. Like, yeah. You're obviously hotter than everybody else.
You're obviously hotter than everybody else. So she gets Colton back with a little payback because, remember, they bungee jumped in Singapore. And she's like, okay, mister, I'll one-up you. We're going skydiving. And he was terrified.
What kind of payback is that, though? It's sort of like there's reciprocal damage here on yourself. Like, haha, you have to go skydiving, and I'm going with you.
Yeah, like, what? That's the opposite. I feel like also
skydiving's super fun.
I know. I feel like every season on this show, we talk about you going skydiving, Adam. Do you have anything new to say about you going skydiving?
I went and had a blast. You should go sometime. Then we could stop talking about me doing it, because then you would have gone and we talk about you doing it.
I have something to say. Do you want to hear it?
You're never going to go.
No, I'm not going. No.
It's fun.
Are you joking?
No, it's fun.
Do you know how terrible a time I had when we went trapezing?
Yeah.
And you want me to go skydiving?
Yeah, it's better than that.
Okay. So
the same feeling, but better.
Okay,
more
but like,
of it.
Also, no. I really enjoy Colton and Tayshia. I feel like they have a super playful relationship, and it's super fun. So they go to the quote-unquote bungalow house.
They go to
Tayshia's
somebody's
family.
House.
They go to somebody's house. It's a very cute home. And Tayshia's family is the perfect size for a hometown date.
It's only four people.
Four people. Mom, dad, two brothers. Can I talk about her younger brother for 5 seconds?
He's 10.
He's the cutest person I've ever met.
He looks just like his dad.
He's
only
so cute.
Tiny.
Only tiny and little. And he's got this curly hair. And then when they asked him, they were like, hey, little man, like, what do you think? Are you worried about Tayshia, like, meeting this guy and getting in a relationship with him? And she's like, I don't know. I mean, if it's right, it's right. I was like, who are you? Did you go to Harvard?
He's a 10-year-old who doesn't know anything.
He's wildly astute.
Yes, he is.
I would also like to address that he was smartly dressed. And also, in the number...
Do you think he did that?
Hey.
We're over here, and I'm like, this is the most scripted. Everything is so scripted. And you think he dressed himself for the show?
Listen, he's a sophisticated young man. I would not put it past him that he dressed himself. Okay?
Sure.
Sure. So, let's also
I realize it is best for me at this point to say sure.
Thank
so
you.
So, I will.
Thank you. I also would like to address that usually when there are younger children on the show, they don't always play well on camera. If we recall Nick Viall's little sister who cried and was so... It was weird.
That family is not put together. That
no.
family is a mess. It's like they're clearly just like a pack of wolves family.
They are a pack of wolves!
Where like... All the time. You might just show up there in the middle of the day or something
and
on
the Viles
Saturday.
Are just like...
And there's like four kids and no parents. And you're just looking around like, what if somebody got hurt or like needed food? What would the kids do? And the parents, whenever they show up, are like, not my problem. Scavenge.
Yeah, his mother had a lot of earrings. That was a problem for me. So Tayshia warned Colton last week that her dad would be challenging. Would you say that Colton and Tayshia's dad had a challenging conversation? Would you say that that was true?
So there are two points to this.
Okay.
Point number one, and this has been true of the first two dates, and it will be true of the fourth date also. Colton is bad in front of groups. He's bad one-on-one, but that's a separate issue. The guy does not speak very well, and he's not like... He's a little bit, like, slow to warm in terms of his like, comfort with people.
He doesn't have a lot of stage presence, especially for somebody who's a philanthropist who probably has to speak in front of people a lot.
He is a bad contestant for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the contestants are great on camera and can meet people and be the life of the party and stuff.
Yeah.
Colton is none of that. Colton is a stick in the mud for all these people. And like, if this is your only impression, if you're a parent and this is your only impression of this guy, there is no way to feel except colossally underwhelmed.
He is an awkward person.
I think Colton essentially is a good guy and like and it is a, like a nice person, especially for the bachelor scale, is a nice person.
But he's a former fat kid who is never confident in himself, and it shows.
He's so bad in these groups.
He's so
he has no idea what to do.
No.
All he wants to do is like pull the girl away and have a little one-on-one time. But, like, that's not why you're here. You already did that part. Now you have to do the family thing.
Right.
So that's the one part.
Yes.
The second one, I think they were teasing Tayshia's dad as being this, like, the ultimate hard ass. And, like, he's the first on this episode. He's the first dad who is the real turd. The real, like, I imagine they have a cue card that's just literally just a picture of a turd in a punch bowl. And they like, hold it up.
Hold on.
Be an asshole.
A turd in a punch bowl?
Yeah. To say. People say that. You've heard that? You've not heard that?
No!
Am I making that up? People say that.
Who?
I don't... Me?
Is this some backwoods Springfield, Illinois jargon
no.
that I don't know about?
The people who are listening right now are all going to be like, yeah, I've heard turd in a punch bowl before.
Yeah, I hope you guys get into the comments and let me know.
It's a very... sensational
okay
metaphor
okay
yeah you know dealing with
challenging people
taste
okay
but
okay.
Yeah, I feel like they reminded him like, hey, you're the tough guy, you're the hard ass, you're doing this, And he did it for a while. It was never really convincing. He was never like wrong. He was always like, right. Listen, I'm skeptical about
this. I think
this.
That's the thing. I think everybody on the show would say, oh, my dad is challenging. He's tough, blah, blah, blah. But really, when parents get on the show and they ask questions about the process, they're probably genuinely curious about it because it seems weird that you would go on this dating show, date somebody for a month, and then you come back and you've got the nerve, like Colton, to ask some of these fathers for their daughter's hand in marriage. And he's like, bro, I met you today.
But like, if you're a parent and your kid is on the show, it is part of your due diligence as a parent to watch the show the seasons before and know what's going to come up.
And it very much so seems like a lot of these parents have watched the show because they seem much savvier about the experience than any other parent that I've seen in a long time.
That should be required.
Right, because they know the timeline of the show. They're like, okay, well, where have you been? And okay, you're dating all these other people and then you're doing this. Like, have you told people? I mean, they know the structure of the show. They know.
Even if you know what's going to happen, this is a very poorly designed show for parents of the contestants.
Agreed.
Because it's like, you send your kid off, you think they're going to do great, and then if they do, you just straight up don't see them again until you see them with this guy, or if it's the bachelorette, this girl, who, like, they might be getting engaged too soon, right. And, like, the whole thing is a sham and everyone knows it.
Right. And then the other thing is that all of these parents also are saying... you know, well, this is pretty much your last chance because I'm never going to see you again, which is legit because
you're going to move to L.A.
You're going to move to L.A. and I'm never going to see you again.
Although for Tayshia and Cassie, like, they live in Huntington Beach and Santa Ana. Like,
so it's not a big deal.
Close enough.
So Tayshia's dad did not give Colton the blessing off jump, which I get it. So then.
Yeah, for the reasons we just talked
about.
This show is terrible for parents.
Right. And then Colton was pretty pressed about, I mean, I have to have her father's blessing. Here's what I'd like to say about this. And I will get on my pedestal and try to make this as short as possible. First of all, do you need the father's blessing? Is that something that is a non-negotiable? Now, granted, I may not be the most traditional person on the planet, but it seems a little antiquated and wild that if you want to be in a long-term relationship, not just with a woman, but with anybody, that any parent is the stopping point of the two of you being together. Now, do I find it ridiculous that Colton feels like he can't propose because some woman's father hasn't told him that this is fine? Yes, that's stupid. Was it really nice later on in Tayshia's date when Tayshia's dad said, I spoke to Tayshia, she and I had a discussion about her relationship with you, and then said in front of the entire family, because it was a family decision versus it being a decision that one father has to make over the property of his daughter being shifted from him to another man. Like,
I think this is the thing the show forces.
The show definitely forces this.
I don't think this is a Colton thing.
Yeah.
I think this is the thing the show forces.
But he seems so pressed about the father thing. And
they
make
him do that.
But he also doesn't seem like the kind of person that would listen to what the show is telling him to do just to do it. That's what I think. But I did appreciate that Tayshia's dad, you know, said it was a family decision about her marrying Colton versus it being his decision, which I thought was lovely.
I think this is just like, this is how The Bachelor creates drama on this four-person left episode every year.
Drama.
Is that they have to do this. How they're going to create drama on the next one is that they're going to insinuate that these three couples are sleeping together.
Oh, they are not sleeping together.
I mean,
or
that's just,
are they?
that's just what the show does. It's dumb. It really is dumb.
Like, it is really dumb.
For the record, the right thing to do, I think, is the thing that I did, where you talk to both parents and you're like, listen, I'm going to propose. We're going to be one family together, and I want to make sure that everybody's okay with everything because I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily like a permission thing. It's a, like, I would like to be a part of your family soon, and I want to make sure that everybody's on the same page and everyone is okay with this.
Right.
You know?
It is not the parents' decision to make.
No, and I think that most people who are proposing probably feel the same way. I would like to talk to both parents.
Right.
You know, if they're still together, together. If they're not together, then you talk to each of them on their own, and you just say, you know, I'm proposing a very big union of families here. Let's be sure that we're all being as, you know, as supportive and as good as possible to the person who's going to be getting asked. That's the right thing to do. And I think in the wild, I think these bachelors who are on the show might probably behave that way. But the show has, like, it's scripted to this episode in particular to a T.
To a T.
And they just have
every season is exactly the same in this effect, unless it's The Bachelorette and they don't have to have this conversation.
Well, it's just as scripted then, it's just in a different way.
Right.
It's terrible.
Right. So the evening portion of the day, it seemed like it went really well. Like, this was the turning point for me where I felt like, is Tayshia higher up than we thought? Like, she had a great date. They spent a ton of time on her. You saw the lightness and the levity in their relationship. And, like, the evening part, like, when they finally said goodbye to each other, it really felt like that moment in Beauty and the Beast. There must be something there that wasn't there before. Yeah, that's how I felt.
I think she's in a pretty clear second after this. Because at the beginning of this episode, you're like...
Second?
At the beginning of this episode, okay, you're like, Hannah's winning, and then it's kind of a three-way tie for second.
Now
I feel like it's pretty clear that she's in second.
Definitely. So, let's...
I mean, her dad, like, eventually, like, he lectures Colton, really, is the nature of their relationship.
Her dad's a pontificator, for
he
sure.
He kind of lectures Tayshia. She's like, so, what's going on? He's like, listen, he's a nice guy. There's a lot of nice guys out there. You need to make sure this isn't just, like, a microwave relationship. True. Which is a beautiful turn of phrase.
Don't you love that?
This guy can talk. Like, he's lecturing because he can talk.
Yeah.
And then eventually he's like, ah, you know what? Like, go ahead and do it.
He's like, you know, I trust you, Tayshia. It's not about Colton. I trust you. And if you say that this is what you want.
Objectively, that's the best way for every parent to answer it.
I agree.
You're always going to trust your own kid more. You're always going to.
It's like, I don't know.
Because you know exactly what they're made of. They're made of everything that you put in there.
Totally.
Always going to trust your own kid more than the other one.
Right.
Always.
Can you really imagine somebody walking into our house and meeting us for like 2 hours and then sitting down with us and being like, I want to marry your daughter? I would fly off the handle.
But they have to.
I know, but like honestly, for real, as a human person, I would be like, are you kidding me?
But what if you had like 2 months to lean into that, where you know it's going to happen.
But you don't know if it's going to happen. Like,
you have to expect that it will. You have to expect your kid is going to go.
Okay, you have to expect that if your child's going on the show,
they're
going
to win.
Then they're going
to
win.
You have to think your kid is the most attractive and the best candidate. You have to.
Sure. So there's no way that none of these parents had not thought about this.
Yeah, no one should be surprised.
Yeah. Okay, so Cassie's hometown.
Let's go to Cassie.
Oh, boy.
She's from the beach.
Oh, my God. I love
She's a surfer.
Oh, my God. Like, this is like Sweet Valley High reincarnate. We get it.
They get there. So Colton shows up. She's like, oh, my God, I'm already in this swimsuit. Take a look.
So weird.
This is kind of a turning point for me. I looked at her on the beach in her surf attire, in her element, and I was like, you know what? This is not for me.
Wow.
I am not into this.
Now, were you into it before?
No, but I didn't know
that... Okay.
No, she has been last in my power rankings for a while. But also, I looked at her in her element and everything, and I was like, definitively, this is not for me. This is not my thing.
Okay. Colton and Cassie went surfing. He almost drowned, and then we went to her house.
Surfing is hard to learn.
Yeah.
The first time you do it, you just get beat up no matter what. Even if you're athletic and like he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to learn, and you just fall a bunch.
And she was just, like, popping up, like, okay, yeah, just do this.
Yeah, she's good at it, and, like, it's her favorite thing, and she does it all the time.
Okay, I get it.
So they did that. It happened fast. It wasn't, I don't know, newsworthy or anything.
It absolutely they did wasn't. It. So we go to Cassie's quote-unquote family bungalow, and we walk into the house, and Hitler's dream is staring right back at us. Every single blonde person that you could have ever met in Huntington Beach, California is in this home.
It was so blonde.
It was scary.
It's like The Sound of Music. Just everyone is blonde everywhere.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the Aryan race has risen again. So there's a couple things about this date. Namely, the thing that I want to focus on, not necessarily her dad, is the fact that I actually didn't realize that Cassie has not told Colton how she feels about him. So let's go back.
It's an interesting play. Because there is a formula for revealing this information.
Right. And let's go back to last week when we were having... Let me go back. Let's go back to last week when we were having these deep conversations about who was here for the right reasons and who has said what about being in love with Colton. And guess whose name nobody could keep out of their mouth? Cassie. You know why? Because everybody said she's not ready for this. She's not ready for this. And come to find out, she admitted in her own hometown that she also was not ready for this. What?
Yeah, so there's kind of a lot of ways that Cassie stands out. So every year, this is where you have to say falling in love with you.
Yes.
You're like,
In love with you.
Prior to now, you should have said starting to fall in love with you. Now you say, I'm falling in love with you. And then you wrap it up right before you sleep with him at the fantasy suites. You say, big time, I love you. Three words, yeah. Boom, drop.
Boom.
Okay?
Yeah.
1, 4, 3. Mr. Rogers' weight.
Aww.
I know, right?
Oh my God, that documentary, you guys, snubbed at the Oscars this year. Snubbed. Okay.
So this is
You know, Tom Hanks is going to be playing Mr. Rogers in a biopic next
year. Of course.
Year.
What a perfect casting.
Perfect.
So Cassie is not following the playbook for divulging her love feelings.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Well, also, she, throughout this date, there is nobody that I realized is 23 more than Cassie. Like, even with Kaylin being 23 and with Hannah being 23, I was like, okay. Like, Hannah, I could feel it. Kaylin, I can't feel it as much. Except when Kaylin goes dark and she gets really mean. But Cassie is the most 23 of 23-year-olds that I've ever met.
She is a baby. She lives at home.
The way that she talked to her father was just so eye-opening for me, where I said, oh my God, this woman wants to be somebody's wife right now?
Yeah.
And that's how you talk to your father?
Her dad just had like a permanent frown, like a confused frown the entire time. He's like,
constipated.
I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah,
Like somebody had just come into his house and like ripped away his daughter forever. Like, he was like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
Very negative.
Yes.
It was weird. I can't imagine anybody had a good time on this date.
No. And the body language was awkward between the dad and, I don't know, everybody else. And Colton and Cassie were all over each other. And he was very open with his feelings when he said, I'm falling in love with Cassie. And everybody else on the show, whether they were talking to Cassie or Colton, were like,
her?
They were like, She ain't into it, funny bro, or something?
She
ain't into it. And it was almost like when Colton asked Cassie's dad, you know, I am probably not going to see you before the end of this, and I want to know if it's okay to propose to Cassie. I almost felt like he wasn't giving him his blessing, not because he didn't like Colton, but because he knew Cassie didn't give a f*** about him.
So it was interesting. Colton's like, listen, if it came to it and, like, I proposed, would you be cool with it? And her dad goes, So...
I'm like, she hates it.
Oh, what?
The pauses that they edited into the show, this episode, were legendary also, by the way.
It's just really interesting that the first three women are tripping over themselves to, like, make such a good experience for him and, like, to convince him so thoroughly and everything. And Cassie's route is like, listen, you love me way more than I love you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really into it. Like, you might be. I'm not, like, it's cool. We're not together.
Yeah.
It's a very unique approach to the game. People have done it before, I think, but it's a weird move.
I just find it funny that she was so defensive last week about the idea that she wasn't here for the right reasons. And yet, we are at hometowns and you still haven't said the words. You haven't thought about it. You said, oh yeah, he's like really cool guy. He's so nice. What? A lot of people are nice. Do you want to marry this guy or not? And if you don't...
just say what Tayshia's dad said. A lot of people are nice. That's a Tayshia's dad. Straight out of his.
He was right.
He had some wisdom.
He's right. He said some stuff that meant some things. So Colton did not get the blessing from Cassie's dad. And Cassie basically ran around to all of the members of her family basically saying, I'm not really into this guy. And she still, even at the evening portion of the date, did not tell Colton how she felt about him. He point blank asked her, hey, I'm falling in love with you. Tell me how you feel. And she's like, I really love spending time with you.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
All right?
She said, go Bucks. She said, thank you.
She's not really invested.
She's not.
Or she is, and this is just her, like, reverse psychology game. Some people play this game. They're like,
yeah,
I'm going to win by acting like I'm not involved. It is not a strategy people on this show take often. But it is
something that
happens. In real life, people do that.
And come to find out, he still picked her. And he physically said, which grinds my gears as well, he said, I know that Cassie hasn't said to me that she's falling in love with me, but I know she can get there. How? Your gut? This gut that we keep talking about?
They make him say that.
It's so stupid.
So, quick end of the road. Only one person. Yep. It's Kaylin.
Get her out of here.
She doesn't get the rose, and she kind of melts down a little bit in the car, which I guess you expect. She's a child.
I was so upset about this. When Colton picked Tayshia, she looked right at Cassie, and she either said...
She swears.
She swears.
It's and the F word.
You know what? I've about had it with Kaylin. I was on her side during the whole Hannah B thing, and like thinking to myself, you know, like Hannah is crazy, and she didn't know what she's talking about, and... I don't like what I'm seeing from Kaylin. She is a nasty
girl.
She
seems to have gotten a lot younger in a very few weeks.
She's nasty.
Thank you, Taylor. Excellent diagnosis. Also, quick end of the road, just update, programming update for everybody who listens to our show.
Oh, yeah.
Season number 2, we're going to be removing the audio from episodes in season 2 and just hosting them on a Google Drive instead of on this on Podomatic, because we run out of space.
Yeah. We've done hundreds of episodes of the show.
It's a good problem to have. So they're still going to be able, like, you're still going to be able to listen to them, but if you're looking for them the next couple of days, there's going to be some weird transition time where we have to delete the old episodes, change the audio around, and re-upload them with just look in the descriptions. Anyway,
and that's Adam, it. What season...
Season
that.
2 is Juan Pablo's season.
So just in case you were looking to go back in time and join us for Juan Pablo's season, some highlights from that season when Adam actually met Juan Pablo, Charlene in a general sense. And I think the finale for Juan Pablo's season was our highest listened to.
Yeah, we had a handful of really, like, well listened to episodes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Season 2 is going to be...
Season 2 was great. It was really fun.
It's still going to be around. Yeah. You're just going to have to listen to it different now.
Sorry.
That's it. Let's do power rankings.
I'm ready.
Who's your number 3?
My number 3 is Cassie.
She's gross. She's not even attractive.
And the whole, like, I'm in love with you, I'm not in love with you thing, I think he's either going to see her naked and be like, are you in love with me? And she's going to go, no, but let's have sex.
I don't even want to see her naked at this point. I am not attracted to her even in a little bit.
Okay. I don't think the show is for you.
Well, the power rankings are for me.
Okay. The power rankings are for you.
My power rankings are for me.
Yep, they are.
My number 2 is Hannah.
My number 2 is Tayshia. She's not going to get picked. She could be the Bachelorette, though.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
She's my number 1. I think she's so much hotter than the other girls.
Well, and then Hannah is my number 1 because he's loved her off jump, and her hometown date was pretty much 10 minutes long.
The nice, like, quiet, drama-free hometown date of a person who is going to win.
Right. So, bold predictions for next week. As you may have seen in the trailer, we get two episodes next week. So that means you will get two episodes next week. Monday night is part one of the fantasy suite. And Tuesday night is The Fence Jump plus Women Tell All.
The Fence Jump, I don't know if we know, happens on Tuesday. It happens for sure one of those nights.
It allegedly happens. The Fence Jump is coming. The Fence Jump is actually coming.
So there's four total hours of The Bachelor next week. Yes. Two on Monday, two on Tuesday. Yes. And I think it's going to be, we think it's going to be 3 hours of actual programming and an hour of Women Tell All.
Now, what they could do, which probably is true, they might splice in that 1 hour with Women Tell All for 2 hours. So yeah.
We'll see what happens. But we will have 2 hours, or we will have two episodes next week.
Yes.
On Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning.
So bold prediction, Adam. Is Colton going to...
Yes. I think the bold prediction is who he chronologically goes on the first date with. So at the end of this episode, he's like, Chris, can I talk to you? And we don't find out what he talked about.
Right.
I think what he's going to say is like, listen, could we make Hannah first?
What's the order of operations
I don't want to give it up to somebody who I don't end up picking. I want the first one to be the one that I care about the most. I don't know what order they're going to show them to us in. All of these happen unrelated to each other, so you could show them, you could air them in any order imaginable.
Right.
And, well, there are only six possible combinations of these, of three people. Anyway, right? That's a combinatorics joke.
Oh my God. My God! Thank God we're already married!
I think that's what he's doing. He's like, listen, Chris, can we have Hannah go first? I know I'm gonna pick her. Can I just give it to her?
Literally and figuratively. Here's my other thing. Something sinister feels like it could happen. I don't know what it could be, but something sinister feels like it's going to happen. I think Cassie's in the car crying, which means she probably goes home. But I just don't know what it is. I don't know what sinister stuff is going to happen. I can't articulate it. I'm very sorry.
I don't know what sinister could happen.
Other than he bangs whoever he bangs first and then decides
that would
not
be,
to bang anybody
That would be
else.
A very sinister move by the show.
Like, yeah.
It would seem to me, like, they can air them in whatever order. Nobody cares. But it would seem to me like Chris Harrison at this point should be like, listen, do you know? Because if you know, like, that's who your first date will be with.
But then the other thing is, like, for somebody like even, let's give the example of Sean Lowe. Sean Lowe was a born-again virgin, and he went to the fantasy suites with no problems. Why all of a sudden do we feel like Colton has to go to the fantasy suite and have sex with somebody? Because he's so horned up?
He doesn't have to.
I'm so horned up.
Thank you for leading up to that.
Yes.
He doesn't have to.
You don't know.
You don't know.
No, I mean, he doesn't have to.
Right, but like... You know, why is there now so much pressure on him to execute, if you will? I mean, if the whole point is for you, you know, to do this and to do this with the right person and, you know, for you to truly be in love, like, you know, what's the harm in two more weeks?
I don't think there's pressure to, like, execute there. But I do think that if that's something that he wants to try with more than one person, they should at least let him, like, decide the order that he has them in.
But then the order means something, too.
Well, yeah. Yeah, of course it
because
does.
Whoever's first, I mean, not to say
that's
that
the
it
point.
Is... Right, not to say that somebody, one person gets to take something over another person, and, you know, that means that person... That means he loves that person more than somebody else. But, like, I don't know.
I guess you just have to come listen to us next week. Twice and find out, really.
Find out whether or not this is going to be some sinister business.
That's really all there is left to do.
Okay.
So that's it. We'll see you twice next week. Taylor, I'm glad you're not coughing at all.
Oh my God.
In our listener's face.
Oh my God, me too. You don't even understand. I'm off antibiotics. I can drink wine now. This is great.
Great. Good to have you back. We will have us back twice next week.
Yeah.
Great. We'll see you then.
Bye.
You know, I think when a man loves a woman,
there's so much more you can do in a fantasy suite.
Yeah.
I never wear underwear.
There was a big group of women.
That's sort of evil.
Now we're rolling with it. Will he, won't he? I did things my way. It wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect, but I tried my best. I'm having fun. I loved it. I'm very excited.